and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I'm your host, Maggie Hart. Blessed to be here another week. The weather is warming up. Birds are singing. Things seem to be improving weather-wise, but there's a lot going on around the country. There's a lot of stuff we need to talk about that's super important that isn't the most positive in nature, but the main thing is how we handle it. How all of my little cannolis, all of my little stroofalies deal with the information as it's provided to us and make sure that we keep things in perspective, question everything, and also that more importantly than anything, we just keep that positive feeling of knowing that we can influence things with our energy, with our thoughts, with our actions, with our spoken words, with our elected officials. We collectively have the ability to change things individually, of course, but more effectively collectively. So join me around the comfy couch, on the hassock, on the recliner chair, on the floor, wherever you choose to sit and listen. Grab your cup of coffee or your hot cup of tea or your wonderful beverage that you've chosen for this evening. Put on your slippers, jump into some sweats, grab a blankie, get comfortable, and let's get started. I have to tell you that this week, since Easter Eve, I've spent a lot of time on my comfy couch this week because I didn't use the best judgment, but for years I've climbed around on my railing when I've wanted to hang my seasonal decorations. I was putting out some springtime, kind of these hot air balloon things that are super cool on my front porch, and that went off without a hitch. And then Easter Eve around 2 o'clock in the morning, I had noticed that on my side porch earlier in the day, some birdies were nesting in one of the houses. So on my back deck, I decided I wanted to hang some more birdhouses so the birdies would have a place to nest. I had my house slippers on and climbed up on the railing, and the winds were extremely powerful. And the wind took me and I went crashing down onto my deck on my side and laid there for about 10 or 15 minutes while the puppies stared at me out the back deck window like, "Mom, what are you doing?" And then I got up and hobbled back into the house with my birdhouses, shut everything down for the night, and the next day was pretty uneventful. I was sore and knew that I had done some damage to my leg, especially from the knee down, but, you know, it was tolerable. But Monday, I had an influx of little babies and family friends visiting. Family is not always blood. These kids that my daughter grew up with and spent a lot of time growing up here in high school. These kids were always at my house, have now grown up, gotten married, had children of their own. Some have moved out of the town and come over. They descend upon me. Sometimes there's 3, 5, 8, 12, and they come over and we share a meal and visit and catch up. And I get to play with the kids and it's awesome, but it's a lot of running around. And this time they came in stages throughout the day. So I was on my feet all day, and the next morning I got up and boy, was I hurting and boy, was I swollen. And these kids are so incredibly sweet. They saw that I was injured. I told them what happened, and one of them actually dropped me off an ice pack knee brace like 10 minutes after they left. They ran home, came back, got me the brace, and told me, "Call if you need anything." They all, you know, "If you need anything, call me. We'll be there." Just super sweet kids. It wasn't their fault. I just was trying to be a good hostess, and they kept telling me to sit down. And, you know, it's just the Italian. You know, you wait on people when they come. You give them cake, coffee, whatever they want, play with the kids, you know, get the toys out. And so it was a great day. And the next day I paid for it. And ever since then, my leg has been incredibly swollen and in a lot of pain. And I couldn't walk on it at all, like at all. But, you know, I wouldn't trade getting to watch the kids with their little duck whistles that I bought them, duck calling all over the house and talking about going hunting at summer camp with their uncles, and just these little tiny babies having conniptions when it was time to go home because they didn't want to leave my house. Some of them call me Mimi, gathering up their homemade cheesy popcorn that I made for them upon request and just having a blast. So anyway, I got some crutches up out of the basement, but they're for the average height individual, and I'm only 5 foot, so after a day of using those, both of my armpits swelled. And then I wasn't paid from that. So my wonderful child sent me crutches and a cane to use until I recover. And I never went to the doctor. I have been treating myself holistically because I knew that this was something that I could heal on my own. I've been doing a bath in the morning with Epsom salts and castor oil and lemon oil and chamomile tea. And then I've been icing it and I've been elevating it and I've been staying off it as much as humanly possible. And as of today, the swelling is almost totally gone. Still have some pain, but I'm able to get around pretty well with the cane. And I prefer the cane just because my arms are still swollen and I can't really use the crutches. But I will be able to use the crutches soon. But you know what? I don't think I'm going to need them because I've been doing my tuning fork as well. And I've been doing a lot of energy work on my own body. And I've also been rubbing castor oil on my entire leg like 3 times a day. And if anybody doesn't know, castor oil is amazing for healing for sore joints, muscles, whatever. And I felt intuitively that nothing was broken. If anything, I might have hyperextended my knee. Definitely did some muscle or ligament damage there. So it's going to take a while to get back to normal. I'm thinking probably 4 to 6 weeks, but I'm up and I'm around and I'm moving and it's getting stronger every day. I really look forward to the foot baths in the morning because they help a lot. They just feel so good. And the pain's diminished quite a bit, although it still kept me up last night with the throbbing somewhat. Showering's awesome. I've been able to take a shower the last couple days, which is amazing. And my puppies have not left my side. They're constantly licking at my kneecap. And through all this and all of the excruciating pain, it's been really hard to stay positive, especially when I call my cousin and she tells me, oh, you need to go to the hospital. You might be getting a blood clot and you could die from that. And all of her negative Nelliness and some other people that I talk to, same deal. Oh, you need to get that looked at. You should go for x-rays. It could be broken and you don't know it. But you know what? I know what's good for my body. And I'm getting surprises. I got a package coming today from Amazon. That's a special present that I don't know what it is yet, but I'm sure that I'll love it because it was sent with love. So try to stay positive when you're in that situation. It was extremely challenging. I got frustrated. I had to vent. My support group has been utterly amazing, and that helped to carry me through and send me back on a positive trend. There was one night, the pain was just so bad, and I couldn't sit, and I couldn't put my knee up, and I couldn't stand, and everything I did hurt. It's just been this sharp, shooting, excruciating pain, and it just wears you out. And then the challenges of life, dealing with everything that I deal with on a daily basis, and then having to change my entire week's schedule at the drop of a hat. I had my week all planned out. That all had to be changed because obviously I couldn't do anything anymore. But you know, when I went to go out on that back deck, I got intuition. I'm hearing in my head, you probably shouldn't do that. Why don't you wait until tomorrow? And I ignored my gut feeling. I ignored my intuition and now I'm paying the price for it. So that was a lesson because typically I don't ignore my intuition, but I was just wanting the birds to have a place to nest so badly. And I've climbed around on that deck like a monkey for years, never had an issue. Should have put my sneakers on. Pink fuzzy slippers weren't the best choice. So I'm hearing in my head, you need to listen 100% of the time to your intuition, which is something that we've been talking about for years on this show and something that I need to remind myself to do just as much as I remind you guys to do. The one time I didn't caused me a week of utter agony and discomfort and set me back 4 to 6 weeks from being at my optimal level to do the things that I need to do with springtime and in my personal life and my business responsibilities and all of that. But I wanted to share that with you because here again, we're not always perfect. We still make mistakes. And I wouldn't feel right if I didn't admit that to you. Even though I've come to rely on my senses so much, and I rely on my intuition probably 99% of the time, that 1% will get you every time. And it wasn't as bad as it could have been this time. When we broach the times that are ahead, it's really going to be important. So I'm thankful that I learned my lesson now and not when it was a matter of life or death potentially. And trust me, I had that in slow motion effect as I was coming down off the railing and I had no control over my body. I heard a loud snap before I hit the ground when my knee must have turned, my leg must have turned mid-flight. But I honestly felt like I was being held up somewhat or cushioned somewhat from a harder fall. And I did not fall the other way off of the railing onto the ground, which would have been a lot more detrimental. I didn't hit my head. I didn't hit my shoulder. It was strictly from my hip down, mostly from my knee all the way down to my ankle. So it could have been so much worse. And I truly believe that I was not only protected, but I was being kept from hurting myself a lot more seriously. So lesson learned.
You big dummy.
All right, let's get into our clippies for the week. Former UN employee Claire Edwards tells us what's ahead, the next phase of the agenda.
Second wave will be the electromagnetic weapon. And that is what we are facing now. And that's why this document is so important. Because if we're going to survive this, we need to take measures to protect our health, to avoid being targets, and especially to build up our own immune system and our own bodily strength. They offer information on how you can do that. You know? And I'd like to end by saying that I am extremely worried about the children. And that's why today I wanted to do a live stream, because during the lockdown, as we've seen again from this document, it was actually part, this is a global agenda. And because I'm international, I see how this agenda is playing out across the world, because I see the repetition. I see the identical repetition in each country. And so I see that measures have been put in place for children to be removed from their homes. And we know that the lockdown measures included the speeded up installation of 5G. And we know, and you can see here in Vienna, I've been shocked to see how many enormous antennas have been installed immediately outside schools, nurseries, kindergartens. It's horrifying. And I'm also told that YGIG has been widely installed in British schools. So I have to warn parents, do not send your children to school, because the second wave is going to be the electromagnetic radiation. And the intention is to declare that the children have been affected by the alleged COVID, and they're quarantining the school, and parents may never see their children again.
And Dr. Robert Malone, the inventor of the mRNA, warns parents against getting their children vaccinated, not just from the COVID vax, from regular routine vaccinations.
Parents, before you inject your child a decision that is irreversible, I wanted to let you know the scientific facts about this genetic vaccine, which is based on the mRNA vaccine technology I created. There are three key issues that parents need to understand. The first is that a viral gene will be injected into your children's cells. This gene forces your child's body to make toxic spike proteins. These proteins can cause permanent damage in children's critical organs, including their brain and nervous system, their heart and blood vessels, including blood clots, their reproductive system, and this vaccine can trigger fundamental changes to their immune system. The most alarming part about this is that these damages, once they occur, are irreparable. You can't fix lesions within their brains. You can't repair heart tissue scarring. You can't repair a genetically reset immune system. And this vaccine can cause reproductive damage that could affect future generations of your family. The second thing that you need to know about this is the fact that this novel technology has not been adequately tested.
Now, the first clip was a little bit older, I will admit, but it's still the plan. They are still looking to move forward with this. We've heard several reports of another plandemic coming down the pipe, and that's absolutely a possibility. But in the second clip, why did I say not just the COVID jab? Because starting in 2025, they were supposed to be beginning to put mRNA in all routine child vaccinations. The graphene oxide in the shots is going to play into the first video insofar as the 5G technology. While we know that that was in the COVID jab, look for that to be in any injections. I would not take a flu vaccine, any type of vaccine, tetanus, nothing is safe anymore. Listen to this old school video about the flu jab.
Today, doctors at the Federal Communicable Disease Center acknowledge the flu vaccine and the recommended dosage is ineffective. While in a larger dose, it can be harmful. However, the flu vaccine is still recommended for old people and the chronically ill. Last month, a Senate subcommittee headed by Abraham Ribicoff charged that the federal government wasn't doing a good enough job of informing the public about ineffective vaccines. Scientists at the Division of Biologic Standards test vaccines for their potency and safety before licensing them for public use. However, the division does not determine the effectiveness of the vaccine. That is left to the manufacturers. A case in point is the influenza vaccine. Four scientists in charge of work on the flu vaccine during the 1960s found it to be ineffective, said they refused to give it to their own families. Two were transferred to other work, a third left the division. And over the entire 10-year period, not one word of their unfavorable findings was allowed to be published. But a more serious case involving the relationship between the leaders of the division and their scientists involves the adenovirus vaccine, a vaccine given to thousands of American soldiers to prevent certain cold-like symptoms. When it was shown that the vaccine contained a contaminant which caused cancer in laboratory animals, it was taken off the market.
But the vaccine contained a contaminant which caused cancer.
But that was 3 years after the division's own scientists had pointed out the danger. Dr. Murray justifies the use of the vaccine by saying it took 3 years to examine the evidence against it.
It was more important to use the vaccines than to take them off the market and remove the agent.
It's more important to use the vaccines than to take them off the market and remove the agent.
But since the agent couldn't be removed, there was no other course.
Thus, for 3 years, American troops were injected with a cold-preventing vaccine which was causing cancer in laboratory animals. And some of the division's scientists, who charged they were prevented from publishing results of experiments which show some of the vaccines to be ineffective.
The control officer in 1960, who has grave doubts about the potency of influenza vaccine. These doubts were made known to the director of the division and through the proper channels.
How about that? Nothing new under the sun, huh? Supposedly, RFK is working on cutting out the flu shots. Let's listen to this.
RFK Jr. has shut down the CDC's flu shot ad campaign and postponed a major vaccine conference. Why? Because for the first time in history, the US government is prioritizing transparency over big pharma profits. But is this just the beginning? Is RFK Jr.'s strategy dismantling vaccine corruption one step at a time? Let's break this down. The CDC's mild to wild flu shot campaign cancelled. A major vaccine advisory conference postponed. And over 600 NIH employees fired. The mainstream media wants you to believe that this is random, but it's far from it. These are deliberate moves, ones Kennedy campaigned on, to expose decades of corruption between Big Pharma and the agencies that were supposed to protect us. His goal? Medical transparency, informed consent, and zero censorship. But let's start with the flu vaccine itself. For years, they told us the flu vaccine reduces severity. It prevents flu-related hospitalizations. It's your best protection. But what if those claims were all marketing? A report from the California Department of Public Health found 50% of severe or fatal flu cases in adults and children were in people who were vaccinated. In the 2016 to 2017 flu season, that number was even worse. 70% of severe cases were in vaccinated individuals. So if the flu shot was actually effective, why do vaccinated individuals make up the majority of severe cases? And it gets worse. Multiple studies show that repeated flu shots may actually make you more susceptible to the flu. A study in JAMA in 2012 found that children who received the flu vaccine were four times more likely to get other respiratory infections. A 2018 study in clinical infectious diseases found that back-to-back flu shots could weaken your immune system over time, making you more vulnerable to future flu strains. Efficacy rates, some years as low as 20%. The average, 40%. That means most years, the flu vaccine is barely better than chance. Yet for decades, mainstream media and mainstream health authorities have attacked anyone who have questioned vaccine immunity versus natural immunity. Now, with Kennedy in charge, this is no longer just a conversation. It's a full government-backed investigation. Could this be RFK Jr.'s strategy? Is he tackling one vaccine at a time, exposing the corruption, the weak science, and the suppression of alternative health solutions? There has never been a long-term independent study proving flu shots are safe and effective. The censorship, propaganda, and outright gaslighting have been relentless. They suppressed vitamin D research, even though study after study shows people with high vitamin D levels have significantly lower risk of respiratory infections. They mocked natural immunity, even though it's science 101.
We've discussed before on this show the possibility that parasites could be responsible for a lot of the modern-day diseases that we have, including cancer. Let's listen to this next series of clips regarding parasites.
In swarm, measuring the marigolds.
Hey everybody, Jennifer Sears in here. Today I want to talk about parasites, not just intestinal parasites, but parasites that live in your organs. So many years back, my GP sent me for a abdominal ultrasound. They found a cyst in my liver. She said it was benign, that I had to check it every few years. I asked her, what is a cyst in my liver doing there? And she said, well, they're just benign. We don't know what they're caused from. Great. I kept going for ultrasounds. Eventually, they found a cyst in my pancreas, in my spleen, and the one in my liver. So I had three organs with cysts. My doctor basically said, they're benign. Don't worry about it. Me being me, of course, I did the deep dive into the research. First thing I found on the internet, all the research papers, that cyst in the liver are actually tapeworm, is actually parasitic. Now, I've always owned cats, so I went with that knowledge to my GP. She had no idea. Then my GP switched over because my first GP retired. I brought that information to her. She was younger. I thought she'd be more hip into the research. And I brought her these research papers saying, listen, I think that these cysts are tapeworms. And she said, no, I've never heard of that. I don't think that's it. She literally looked at me like I had three heads. Even though I brought the receipts, brought her the information, I did basic Google searches that cysts in the organs are basically tapeworms. So here's just a basic search I did. Literally AI, first thing they pull up. Yes, cysts on the liver can indeed be caused by parasites, most commonly by tapeworm. So, and if you go into the research, you'll find tons of research papers on this subject. So, I mean, I wasn't talking out of sorts like I was insane. It was very, very plausible because I've had cats and I found tapeworm in my cats. So what I did was I did the biggest parasite cleanse of my life. I took 2 months and cycled a parasite cleanse, finished the parasite cleanse, waited 3 months, went and got an ultrasound, zero cysts on any of my organs. Now, I want you to watch this video. This video is explaining exactly what I was just explaining to you, and I'm so glad it was on mainstream media. Check this out.
First, an Edmonton woman was told she was dying of a rare cancer, and then her diagnosis became even more bizarre. Our Sue Ling Goh joins us now with more. And Sue Ling, she says everyone needs to know about what happened to her.
The 36-year-old had pain near her ribs, and she was losing weight. Everything pointed to cancer until the biopsy revealed something that was both good and bad news.
The growth in Cassidy Armstrong's liver was the size of a grapefruit.
This dark spot right here is the mass.
Doctors said it was a rare cancer and she would die within a few years.
Yeah. It didn't look good. It was pretty sad and scary.
Surgeons removed most of her liver, her gallbladder, and some nodules from her lungs. Then a biopsy surprised everyone.
They said, we have some good news for you. We don't think this is cancer. We think that this is a parasite.
Each word, God alone, won't you with me?
inchworm from Romper Room.
It's important to remember that you're not sick. You're just under man-made weather. Here's a list of ingredients alleged to be inside the chemtrails. Aluminum oxide particles, arsenic bacilli and molds, barium salts, barium titanates, cadmium, calcium, chromium, dissected human red blood cells, ethylene dibromide, Enterobacter cloacal, Enterobacter acea, human white blood cells A, restrictor enzyme used in research labs to snip and combine DNA, lead, mercury, metal, aluminum, mold spores, mycoplasma, nano aluminum coated fiberglass, nitrogen trifluoride known as chaff, nickel, polymer, fibers, Pseudomonas aeruginosa, Pseudomonas fluorescens, radioactive cesium, radioactive thorium, selenium, serratia marcescens, sharp titanium shards, silver streptomyces, strinothium, submicron particles containing live biological matter, unidentified bacteria, uranium, yellow fungal mycotoxins, and fluoride. What if this is the reason that you're forgetting things, that you're having amnesia? What if this is the reason for erectile dysfunction? What if this is the reason that women are having ovarian cancer? What if this is the reason that children are having ADHD? What if this is the reason that most people have anxiety and depression? What if this is the reason most individuals have a low immune system? What if this is the reason for most neurological disorders? Now, some allege that parasitic intrusion is one of the biggest reasons for disease. Some say that parasites actually have the ability of affecting your neural synapses, meaning they can actually influence your thought patterns. Some actually associate and relate parasitic organisms with demons and actually say that they believe that they have the ability of actually manipulating and controlling their hosts. The parasite cleanse and detox that I have available on Holistic Remedies for Ascension is actually composed of sweet wormwood, black walnut, whole cloves, and a list of other essential nutrients to ensure that you're in homeostasis. Once you have successfully eradicated all parasitic invaders, it makes it a lot easier to go through the fasting process. One of the things I recommend while on your journey to ascension is integrating fasting and meditation, okay? Fasting and meditation is very essential because it actually allows you to tap into higher frequencies, all right? A lot of the food that we are actually engorging ourselves with is lowering our frequency. It's actually putting us in a root chakra resonance as opposed to the higher chakra centers. Now, keep in mind that your chakras are directly affected by the planetary bodies and the celestial luminaries. Some of you may be experiencing insomnia, where you have heightened energy.
It was the first time, so there was none of the leaves. A bullet for a former soldier in his salad days. Now my Saturdays are Saturdays. What a waste. Would you rather be a saint or a winner? A worm on the hook or a fisher?
Some of the musical clips that you'll be hearing on my show are from a group called Hip Conspiracy out of Rochester. I've been contracted to play their music since like 2018-19. I don't use their stuff a lot, but I wanted to share some of their music. And I will be on future shows along with my good buddies Pat Carr and Barry Cooney and maybe some others as well. That last clip, unfortunately, I can't give credit to anybody because it was shared through Instagram and the person that shared it didn't give the guy credit, but he touches on everything we've been discussing for months with the chemtrails and the memory loss and neurological issues. But play that clip again because the part about parasites is also very important. I'm pretty sure I've stated on this show, I know I've talked about it in other interviews on different networks, but it came to me in prayer and vision that they were putting out not only nanotechnology, but some sort of parasites in the air. And this fits. This is, again, more affirmation for me and more information for you. There's a lot of information contained in that short clip. And also, I was shown that there are weird things in the jabby jabs, too. So, and when I say that, among the other things we've discussed on previous shows, I'm talking about specifically living organisms. That last clip was also a perfect segue into my next section on chemtrails. I love it when we got the flow going, don't you? How's your coffee? I need some more.
Don't need coffee.
I need coffee.
You don't need coffee.
I need coffee.
While I'm getting my coffee, enjoy these clips about chemtrails.
I've got almost 100,000 views on it because people are, they're joining me and saying, what? Federal law allows for weather modification experiments involving the use of human subjects for the testing of chemical and biological agents and open air testing of chemical and biological agents. How outrageous is that? There's no consent. There's no consent when you can't escape, when you can't sequester yourself from it. Let me read this again. U.S. federal law allows for weather modification experiments, the testing, open air testing of chemical and biological agents. Didn't they tell us that we were tinfoil hat conspiracy theorists? That we were imagining chemtrails, that they were really moisture in the air? And then I've had people argue with me in the last 24 hours on my social media saying, oh, they're contrails. Oh, you're just pushing, you're a grifter. You're pushing, you know, that near. I'm showing you federal law, you numbnuts. I'm showing you the federal law. Good Lord. Telling you. And, by the way, here's another good one. In another post, because I think this is important for you to see, the U.S. government has given itself permission, along with the approval of Congress, the 535 cockroaches up on Capitol Hill, to poison you with biological agents. And the law, the U.S. code goes on to specify what is a biological agent. It's any microorganism, including bacteria, viruses, fungi, rickettsia, or protozoa, pathogens, or infectious substance, any infectious substance, like the ones they make in the lab, and any naturally occurring bioengineered or synthesized component of any microorganism that is capable of causing death, disease, and other biological malfunction. It's not a conspiracy theory. They've got themselves covered. And they've given themselves the permission to experiment on us like we're ants, insects on the ground. Why the country is not in an uproar is probably the biggest mystery of all. Oh, I'm thinking about Billy's soccer game on set. You're being poisoned. And you're being poisoned legally.
It appears that the Overton window has been blown wide open on the issue of geoengineering, atmospheric weather modification. And, you know, the term chemtrails comes fairly loaded because there's an assumption when you use the term chemtrails that there's something harmful happening as a result. And that's why it's become the colloquial go-to term. And in fact, those who have been watching this and have dedicated their lives to tracking geoengineering, they are comfortable using the term chemtrail now because they have identified particles, materials, inputs that are being used for geoengineering and weather modification through aerosol injection that actually are harmful to human health and our ecosystem health as well. So natural systems such as soil, water, and air are being impacted negatively. And I do know that HHS is in the process of putting together a team to investigate this. Much is unknown. Some is known. We do know that cloud seeding does exist. We do know that counties throughout the United States have active contracts with private companies to cloud seed and thus bring greater moisture to arid lands. And this is all done under the umbrella of climate change mitigation. And so what we don't know and what HHS wants to figure out is the full spectrum of these activities and whether there is a fundamental missing regulatory body looking into harmful impacts of these practices.
media line again is geoengineering is real, but chemtrails are not. That defies logic. They say out of pocket, we know that there's no harmful effects, when we knew from Operation Popeye in Vietnam that it was lead iodide. How do we know? We lack the information. So what is your take on the utter lack of curiosity of the corporate media and their out of turn announcement that this is fine, nothing to see here?
I think it reminds all of us of the statement around the mRNA vaccines being safe and effective. Don't look under the hood. Don't listen to these conspiratorial voices. And in fact, there is quite a bit of active censorship or media manipulation that really deters individuals from furthering their inquiries and curiosity as to what's actually at play.
My pappy used to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is broke, get a hold of Maggie Hart at MAGGIE_HEART at outlook.com to get it fixed.
Okay, so that was Dr. Jane Ruby asking the same question I've been asking myself for years. Why are not more people upset and why aren't we doing more about this? And Nicole Shanahan, Maha Mom political activist and former vice presidential candidate. And if it wasn't bad enough, folks, guess what? You're spied on everything you do, but not what you would think from your phone. Because that would be my first guess is when somebody said, oh, you're being spied on. I think, okay, it's the phone, right? Your smart TV, because we know all about that too. The Roombas even will spy on you. We've talked about that before on previous shows, but this is a whole new ballgame. And this is why I will never allow Starlink in my home. And also why I told you I'm suspicious of his technologies. Not necessarily that he knows what's going on, but it could always be used for nefarious purposes. If somebody else buys the technology or just steals it from him even, so.
Shall we play a game?
How do they do that? How do they turn a family member against you?
So everyone in the United States, so if you look, a summary of our main message is number one, everyone in the United States, and it appears to be most of the world, are being tracked by certain satellites. These satellites are called GPS satellites, and they are the latest technology. All of this is done with a top secret clearance. They have more than 190 satellites under their direct control. They track the precise location of every U.S. citizen by bouncing a microwave beam right here on the top back part of your head. And if you place your hand there firmly, put your knuckles right above it, you can actually feel the microwave pulses. They're about once per second. Everyone in the United States is tracked. Every person that I have tested with my own hand, I can feel the microwave pulse. These weapons produce a microwave scalar beam. In other words, this is a new type of technology that operates under a very mysterious wave. It's called a scalar wave. And it is apparently part of the deep state plan to monitor, track, and surveil everyone on the planet. They aren't particular just to U.S. citizens. We have found that this is a global program.
Shall we play a game?
All right, that was Richard Lighthouse, and it's not Elon Musk technology, it's the GPS technology, but yeah, I don't trust any of them. There are beanies and little knit hats that you can buy that supposedly block the EMF. I'm wondering if those would be effective towards something like this. I'll have to do more research and get back to you on that. But next, since I mentioned old Elon, it's time for How Deep Is Your Doge?
Keep me warm in your love, then you're soft and deep, and it's me you need to show.
How deep is your doge, your doge? How deep is your doge?
Tesla has officially announced a massive nationwide recall for almost all of their Cybertrucks, as a panel has been known to being able to come off of the truck itself at very high speeds. And what's crazy is that this recall involves nearly 46,000 of their vehicles that were produced anywhere from November 2023 all the way up through February. And this comes shortly after their stock market reached an all-time low, so this is not good news for them. And what's even more alarming is that the exterior trim panel that can fall off has been creating hazardous driving conditions, and the company even said that it's their 8th recall for this specific vehicle. And now what seems like a desperate attempt for them to be able to fix their issue, they mentioned that 1% of these electric vehicles were actually defective and that the rest of the recall was just a precaution. Just keep in mind that this vehicle is relatively new with its release date, so the fact that it's already had 8 recalls is insane. And not to mention the other recalls involving losing driving power, as well as front windshield wiper malfunctioning and the accelerator pedal getting stuck. That's terrifying. I keep you guys updated about anything happening in the news, especially when it's this interesting, so be sure to add me and come back tomorrow.
Keep it warm in your love, and you softly leave, and it's me you need to show.
How deep is your dose? Your dose, how deep is your dose? And I know you've all been waiting to hear about the Pope and the Schwab thing, so let's play a couple clips about that. Are we really seeing the tides turn and good guys take over? Let's wait and see who they elect as the next Pope. I think that'd be a pretty strong indication.
In the last 24 hours, two pillars of global influence have fallen. Klaus Schwab, the founder of the World Economic Forum, and Pope Francis, the first Jesuit Pope, gone. Just like that. No speculation, no spin, just fact. One resigned, one passed. Both considered architects of the modern globalist agenda. Both gone in a day. You won't see headlines connecting these two events. The mainstream will call it coincidence. But people are watching. People are feeling the shift. And let's be clear, this wasn't expected. Back in May of 2024, Klaus Schwab said he would remain at the helm of the WEF until at least 2027. He was adamant. The transition must be gradual, he said. And yet, just months later, he's gone, abruptly, quietly. These aren't just resignations or deaths. These are symbols. Symbols of an era that may be ending. An era defined by control, centralization, ideology masked as inevitability. Globalism demands that nations surrender their independence to a global authority, political, financial, even spiritual. It asks you to trade we the people for they, the elite. That's not progress. That's the antithesis of the American experiment. Because the Declaration of Independence wasn't a suggestion, it was a rejection of exactly this kind of power structure. Sovereignty, freedom, self-rule. That's what's on the line. So what's happening here? Are the globalist foundations being dismantled? Is someone, some force, moving pieces off the board? We don't pretend to know the full picture, but we know this. Power doesn't give up without a reason. And when power does shift, it rarely does so with headlines. It happens in silence, in symbolism, in perfect timing. Watch closely, because the world just changed, and most people haven't even noticed yet.
What a time to be alive. Today alone is blowing my mind. Even though I knew a lot of things that were going on, this is like, in one day we have the Pope dying, although he died many years ago. He was taken out because he was a Satanist PEDO, and these are images that show proof of that. And Klaus Schwab stepping down as well today, and they're both 88 years old. There's significance to all of this. Klaus Schwab was taken out a long time ago. And when President Trump says that he wants all the flags to be held at half-mast, this is my reasoning, personally thinking he's doing that as he's trolling, and he's also, it's like a dual thing. He's showing that the world, America and the world, are now freed from the cabal. It's symbolic. And when President Trump calls the Pope a good man, it's Mira. According to Q, everything is Mira, right? Reversal. So he's basically telling us he was not a good man. So once you see it, it's 5D chess. This is the greatest sting operation in world history. So many people are under MK Ultra. They're walking around like zombies, clueless to what is going on. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. What a time to be alive.
Okay, that first video was some guy in a Guy Fawkes mask, and there is no credit given. The second was by D for Liberty. So she's an avid Trump supporter. Obviously, she's got the Q thing going on. I agree with some of what she said, but not all of what she said. I don't believe in Q. I think it's a bunch of malarkey, possibly a psyop. But it's another perspective for you to listen to and form your own opinion. I don't think that was the real Pope. I think it was an actor or CGI that we've been seeing for a while, and probably the same with Klaus Schwab. The question is, what happened to the real guys? I've got my opinions on that. We've talked about it on previous shows. Listen to the archives. You can catch me Tuesday nights at 10 on ERRT Radio, Wednesday nights at 9 o'clock on the Vera Radio Network, and Friday nights at 8 o'clock on Trim Radio. On Wednesday nights, the other nights that my live shows don't air, I have reruns just about every night in the 9 o'clock time spot. I'm on YouTube, I'm on Rumble, I'm on Spotify, I'm on Amazon Music, I'm on iHeart Podcasts, and a plethora of other places. Just search The Positude Podcast and you'll find me.
If you like Maggie and the sound of her voice and want to keep her airing quality shows, I'd be much obliged if you donate to the network, because those folks are dirt poor and rely on your contributions to keep the lights on. Bless their hearts and yours too.
There's been a lot of talk about Trump's tax bill. Let's listen to this guy's take on it.
We're seeking permanent income tax cuts all across the board.
Trump's plan to unalive the IRS just hit Congress, and if it goes through, it means no more income tax, no more payroll tax. And this is the actual bill right here. You can go to congress.gov and read it for yourself. And before you think this is a win for the people, let me go ahead and break it down for you on the board, because this is either going to help you stack more bread, or it's going to leave you worse off than where you started. Here's how we're taxed right now. You make $100. The government is going to snatch 25% of that right off the top. What you're left with is $75. Then you go out and spend this on necessities like groceries, gas, whatever it is. This is called your sales tax. And this might be about 7% average across the country. Some states don't have sales tax. So you made $100, but at the end of the day, it really feels like you only made $69.75, because everybody is getting their money. So here's what it's going to be like under the new tax system, what they call the fair tax system. So you got your same paycheck, $100. Only this time, there is no taxes. Instead of an income tax, they're going to have a sales tax, and this sales tax is going to be about 23% inclusive. You're still going to end up with the final value of your money being $76.92. Not only does the 23% fool you, because that's marketing, because in real life, that works out to about 30% at the register. So let's just say you were buying a TV that was $100. You're actually going to be paying about $130 out of pocket. So who wins and who loses? Well, the winners are going to be anybody who's making $120,000 a year or more, spending less than $50,000 a year. The losers are going to be anybody making less than $50,000 a year, and you're spending most of your money just to survive. You're going to feel that 30% tax on almost everything you touch. And considering the fact that the average household income is about $66,000 a year, we're likely going to have a lot more losers than winners. Now, before you flip out and start calling the president everything but a child of God, every month they're going to send you a check called a prebate based on your household size. What it's supposed to do is cover the sales tax you pay on things like food, rent, clothes, all the basic stuff. So if you got a family of four, you get almost $800 a month, which comes out to about $10,000 a year, just to offset the tax on your basic needs. But once your spending goes over that line, you're back in the tax zone. Now, what actually gets taxed? So not taxed. Used items, rent, mortgage, insurance premiums, utilities in most states. I can probably guarantee that California and New York, they're going to be taxing us. Healthcare paid through insurance premiums.
One of the most powerful things you can have in this situation is perspective and understanding that you can see the light in this entire situation and design if you spend your money on the recycle, not getting into the hype of the new, trying to buy what everybody else is trying to be involved with. That's not the game here. Stack your paper, get on top, and then do what you need to do.
Okay, that was from Black Alchemy Solutions. I was just talking to my uncle earlier this evening, who hopefully is listening to the show now, and he was expressing his disgust, as are many Americans, myself included. If you've listened to the archives, go back and listen to the archives, about the fact that it doesn't seem like a lot is happening right now. In some areas, things seem to be moving, but in others, not so much. And we're getting tidbits, but really not what we were promised as of yet. And while I'm a Gen Xer, and I love it when a plan comes together, that may be it. The plan may be coming together, but there's a lot of people who feel as though this could be a shell game and that we're being distracted. I partially agree with that idea. Let's listen to this next clip.
I think it's important that we do not get distracted by the argument that happened in the White House. It's all an act to shift our focus from this to that. The Epstein files are still being redacted, are still being presented to us like real justice is going to happen, when the very people that are supposed to show us the tapes have their allegiance to Israel, the very country that Epstein was working for. They gave redacted binders to fake influencers with information that we already had for years. We need to get this to our heads. They will never show us the raw footage because they would incriminate themselves. They're just playing with our points of attention and trying to bury one story with a bigger one. I think our point of attention should be focused on winning in our own lives. And we should be putting our energy into something that will make our lives better, our health better, our bank accounts better. But unfortunately, that also means that sometimes we have to get in the political arena and call out some bull.
So while part of the files were released yesterday, as I record today, Friday, people still think it wasn't a lot of information. Little new information, to the dismay of prominent right-wing figures, according to the article from NPR Politics. Better news, a new Florida bill this week put out would make it legal to shoot drones flying over your house. I am so stoked for that. I wish they would do that in every state. Hope it passes. Just FYI, here's another clip from Jane Ruby talking about her perspective on Trump and the mRNA thing. It never hurts to consider all the angles and always question everything.
There's a worldwide program underway to control humanity. And as it turns out, the installation of President Donald Trump will not stop it. It's actually walking us right into it. And it all goes back to the mRNA bioweapon. All roads lead back to the introduction and the proliferation of that poison. At this point, you might want to inform yourself and begin to protect yourself from these psychopaths.
Once we gene sequence, that cancer tumor, you can then vaccinate the person, design a vaccine for every individual person to vaccinate them against that cancer. And you can make that vaccine, that mRNA vaccine, you can make that robotically, again, using AI in about 48 hours. So imagine early cancer detection, the development of a cancer vaccine for your particular cancer.
The voice of Oracle's CEO Larry Ellison announcing to the people of the United States a $500 billion project called Stargate, where artificial intelligence procedures and processes will be merged with the bioweapon mRNA technology. For your health, of course. With a visual reminder what this poison has done up to this point to people around the world. It has destroyed our military readiness. It has murdered and permanently injured hundreds of millions of babies, children, and all kinds of otherwise healthy people. In the first 48 hours of being sworn in as the 47th president of the United States, Donald Trump merged three artificial intelligence CEOs into the White House to declare that the deadly mRNA technology that he has professed to love so much, and now we know why, developed by the Department of Defense to injure and murder Americans, is actually being brought back in to be merged with AI surveillance of the world. And I call your attention to the fact that he has wined and dined some of the most evil characters on the planet, like Pfizer's Albert Bourla, Bill Gates, and he's put in place a new vice president, J.D. Vance, that is heavily invested in the manufacture and distribution of the deadly bioweapon technology.
Hey, remember all those times I talked to you about Satanism and music and the hidden agenda? Let's listen to this. This is Nicholas Schreck, one of the top members of the Church of Satan.
We are in control because basically we are not a political organization. We are an occult organization. We're working behind the scenes to manipulate the way that people think. The war that we are waging is a guerrilla war on the human mind. And we use musical frequencies, the dominant frequency, which I referred to before, and symbolism and imagery to awaken dormant aspects of the human mind. And what we're waging is a cultural war right now on every front, in music, in literature, utilizing the media against itself. And we're using music because that's the instrument that young people respond to right now. We're doing propaganda directly to awaken the wolf in man. Politics is nearly the puppet show of human beings, and we transcend that. But we are interested in the control of human beings for our own purpose. We have no concern for the homeless, particularly. We don't have any concern in helping people. As Adolf Hitler said, we seek to bring about a youth that has closed its heart to pity. All of the humanist values that Judeo-Christianity has encouraged, we want to wipe them out. It's led to democracy, social humanism, the idea of equality. All of this filth has to be wiped out if the human race is going to continue to take the next step in evolution. We're only seeking individuals who are competent and who are willing to take action.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, holy water.
It's Gen X time.
Do you ever wonder what a Gen X thinks? Welcome to Gen X Talks and Death.
What?
Death.
Let's do it.
Okay, so I need to show you a video, but let me explain it first.
About what?
Okay. So, it's videos about, it's a TikTok trend about Baby Keem and Kendrick Lamar, who are two rappers. So Baby Keem raps, and then Kendrick Lamar just, like, interprets what Baby Keem raps. So people are making trends, saying something stupid.
Okay, I already don't care.
What? Come on, it's funny.
I don't know, it's not funny and it's dumb. I don't want to watch your video. And why are you giving me lessons on all these people that I don't know? Do I lecture you on, do I walk around randomly cornering you going, oh, Randy Rhoads was in a band before Quiet Riot. There was actually five Beatles and shit like that?
Yes, you literally do that all the time.
When was the last time I did some stupid like
yesterday.
That?
Yesterday you made me memorize all the members of the Traveling Wilburys. When am I ever going to need that information in my entire life?
That is important historical content. That like goes to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame stuff, okay? Your stuff belongs in the back of a box of Cheerios. Would you please get that out of my way?
Party on, dudes!
If any of these things make sense, you might just be Gen X. If you grew up being too young for Old Spice and too old for Axe Body Wash, you might just be Gen X. If you needed a lighter to help apply your eyeliner, you might just be Gen X. If it took 3 hours, a pencil, and a high level of emotional commitment in order to make a mixtape, you might just be Gen X. If you remember a time when the internet screamed at you like a dying robot trying to connect, you might just be Gen X. If 40 years later you still want your MTV, remember being the remote control, and know what it means to be kind and rewind, you might just be Gen X. If you remember when Netflix and chill was midnight and scrambled Skinamax, hoping your parents don't come downstairs, you might just be Gen X. If you've hankered for a hunk of cheese, know what it is to make a wagon wheel and never drown your food, you might just be Gen X. And then finally, if you were raised by television, ignored by adults, witnessed the best music and movies, have at least 3 or 4 scars initiated by Evel Knievel stunts, owe Columbia House Record and Tape Club a lot of money, and would change none of it, you're Gen X.
Okay, that was Do You Ever Wonder What a Gen X Thinks? And Gen X Jono. Thank you all so much for being with me on this journey this evening. We've covered a lot of ground and talked about a lot of things that were previously considered conspiracy theories. The main thing to remember here is as long as we keep apprised of what the bad guys are trying to do, rather than to become anxious or scared, we can prepare ourselves and pay close attention to what we're growing, what we're consuming, what we're putting into our bodies. We can strengthen and fortify our bodies by way of natural supplements and holistic alternatives and things like cleanses and fasting and keeping our spirits up and focusing on what we can do as individuals and collectively to positively affect the outcome. It's important to be open enough to consider every aspect of a situation and all of the potential alternatives and not follow anyone blindly. To strengthen and utilize your discernment, we have to be the one to initiate the changes that are going to make the tides turn. While we may have political allies, no one is coming to save us. We need to save ourselves. Question everything. Blind faith in any human is never good. Meditate and or pray and ask for your higher powers, your universal source, your God, whatever you believe, to strengthen and support you. And remember to always do it with a grateful, thankful heart. We're all in this together. We're all a ripple in that pond. Thank you all for listening. Have a great week. We'll see you next time. Good night, everybody. The entry music, sometimes my halftime music, and the ending music are all provided by my good buddy, Pat Carr, a wonderful wonderful original musician from Louisiana. You can check him out at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Pat's at AllMusic, Apple Music, YouTube, SoundClick, Spotify, Google Play, iTunes. He is all over the place. Please check him out, support his music, and tell him Maggie sent you.